Well, good morning, people. Morning. Glad you're here this morning, and I hope you're glad to be here. Before we begin the message, I have a word that I believe the Lord wants shared with you this morning, and it's from the prophet Isaiah, and it says this: "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine, says the Lord. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Some of you feel like the floodwaters are about up to here this morning. Some of you may be walking through a fire that only you know about. But God's Word is for you today. God's Word is true. God's Word is just. God's Word is faithful, and His promises are true. And so I just want to encourage you with that word. When you walk through the water, it will not overflow you. You will not drown. You may feel like you're drowning this morning, but you're not going to drown. Reach out and reach up to Him. Maybe you're walking through a fire this morning in some way. God says you will not be burned. You will not be scorched. But He says, "I am the Lord your God, your Savior, and He will deliver you from those things." Amen? Well, again, thank you for being here this morning. I'm really excited that you're here. If you'll turn to the book of Matthew, we're going to begin there as we continue this spiritual warfare series, Matthew 16. And today, I'm talking about a binding covenant. And I just want to say to you, these summer series, I designed them purposely to try to drill down a little deeper in God's Word, to bring the Word deeper and a little more, hopefully create you to dig a little deeper. And I know we're all on different spiritual levels in our life, and that's okay. And maybe you feel like, you know, the spiritual warfare, I just don't understand this stuff. That's over my head. Listen, don't be intimidated by it. Stay with me. Just listen, and God will give you something that you can grasp onto, something that will be for you. And for others, maybe that you're already going deeper, then I hope this takes you even deeper, deeper than you think you maybe are already. So I just want to encourage you with those words this morning. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to begin in verse 13 this morning. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go up to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priest and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. A binding covenant. today's message is a binding covenant. We're talking about a binding covenant that Jesus has made with us. And I want to put a picture up of Caesarea Philippi to give you an idea of what that place looked like. It was one of the most beautiful places in northern Israel. As you can see, it's a place where the Jordan River flows out from under a big rock and heads down. And you can see the big rock formation, and you can see the water where the river's coming out from under that rock formation. Caesarea Philippi, as I said, is one of the most beautiful places in northern Israel, and the river flows, the Jordan flows from under that rock formation. And at the time that Jesus was on earth, interesting enough, this was also a very strong place of pagan worship. Pagan worship. Let's put that other picture up. If you look closely into that rock formation, you'll see these carved areas carved out. And what they would do is they'd build their carven, their wooden or stone images or whatever, their idols that they worshipped, and they'd set them in those rock formations that they'd carved out. And they'd worship those idols in those places all over this area. And they're carved all over in the rock. Many idols and replicas of gods and goddesses were erected there. And it was at this place that Jesus chose to ask his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" It was here that Jesus confirmed that he was indeed the Messiah, God in the flesh, and Redeemer of all people who would believe in him. It's interesting that in this place, full of demonic idol worship, that he promises to give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It's here that he unveils the concept of binding and loosing. He actually reveals the enabled need for his followers to exercise his delegated authority to bind or to loose through prayer and through spiritual ministry. So, this is a very vital part of spiritual warfare and intercessory prayer. You see, an intercessor in partnership with God can bind, meaning restrict something according to God's word, or loose, meaning release the intended purpose of God's power in a situation or circumstance. So, there's only one limit on a believer's authority. Listen to me, there's only one limit on a believer's authority in Jesus' name to do that. And that limit is God's choice. His answer, God's choice for his answer, not ours, his answer, and his timing. In other words, intercessors do their part. And what the results look like is up to God. But the bigger issue is not God's limitation on that. The bigger issue is, will you, I, or anyone be willing to be an intercessor? Will we pray? You see, the target, listen to me, the target of prayer is invoking the invoking of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. On the cross, Jesus said three words, "It is finished." It is finished. And those words, for them, they become functional in our lives when they're believed, when they're received, and when they're applied here on earth in our lives, in the visible realm and the heavenlies, against the darkness of the fleshly and the demonic. And so I want us to look at the concept of binding and loosing, particularly binding. If you'll turn to 1 Timothy, we're going to look at a scripture there in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin right at the beginning, verse 1. He says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now I want you to go back to verse 1. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications. We're going to talk about that today. Supplications. Supplications mean are petitions. They're petitions. Three types of prayer that Paul mentions here. Supplications, intercession, and thanksgiving. So we're going to focus on supplication today. And this is a specific kind of prayer that focuses on binding and loosing in our lives, in its actual meaning. Supplication actually goes back to a root word that means to bind, to bind. The word is deesis, D-E-E-S-I-S, I believe in the Greek. It means a petition or request. But then deesis has its root word in the verb deo, D-E-O, which means to bind, to knit, or to tie, or to wind. And so I want us to see the importance of what Jesus put in place and how he planned for his church to be built at a place like Caesarea Philippi, right in the middle of the big devil idol worship stuff. Back in Matthew 16, if you'll go back there, Matthew chapter 16. Supplication, petitions. That word deo, the Greek, which means to bind, to knit, or to tie, is the same verb form that Jesus uses in verse 19 here of Matthew 16 when he said, whatever you bind. So I want us to see the importance of what Jesus put into place and how he planned this for the church. First, let's look at 15 and 16 of Matthew. Verse 15 says, he said to them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in verse 18 and 19, he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, a lot of people get confused, and I've heard it over the years. I say, well, he's telling Peter, because Peter means the rock, he's going to build his church on Peter. No. No. If that's been your thoughts over the years, erase it. Peter, the word Peter means stone or pebble, which means a small rock. The form that Jesus uses when he says, upon this rock, means stone. Think about that picture we had up there of Caesarea, that big stone rock formation. That's what Jesus is referring to. You see, Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of himself. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the word Christ there means the rock. Jesus was saying, upon this rock, upon me, I will build my church. Listen, the church is not built on any man, anyone other than Jesus Christ. And so there's no way that he was referring to Peter there. Jesus said, you are Peter. And the rock that Peter declared was Jesus. So, you see that big rock formation? That's a picture of what Jesus was talking about, himself as a rock, the rock. In another area, he's called the chief cornerstone in the building of the church. And so, right after this, Jesus begins to reveal what would happen concerning the cross, his death, and his resurrection. And he was actually revealing how the church would be released to advance in faith, in prayer, and in victory over sin and spiritual death. That's what he was beginning to portray and illustrate at a place of right in the middle of devil worship, of idol worship, paganism. So if we move in prayer and we war in the spiritual realm, which is where the outcomes are decided, really, he's given us the keys to unlock the chains that hold people captive. People like us here today. He and his word has directed the church, that's us, to bind and loose through prayer. So what does it mean to bind or loose? It's a wide-ranging answer because the power of darkness exists in so many various forms. But people or circumstances are bound. Nations and rulers are bound. The enemy's intent for evil is also bound. So let's expound on that to understand it better. Look at verse 18 again. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it. It, meaning the church. The gates is a key here. The gates. Because in those days, when Jesus was speaking this, the gates of a city functioned as the town hall or the epicenter of the city. That's where contracts were legalized. It's where property transfers were processed. In other words, the gates at the gates of the city was the power center of the whole area where the court of law was conducted. And so he's saying the gates, the epicenter, the power structure of hell will not prevail against the church. So when he said the gates of hell will not prevail, the verb form of prevail is an ongoing action. Jesus is saying evil administration, evil counsels, devices, and strategies of Satan's hellish works against his church would be pushed back and broken, pushed back and broken. When his people walk in the power of the cross, applying the will of God on earth just as it is in heaven. You see, the keys have been placed in our hands, yours and mine, to cast down the gates of hell. You see, the rule of darkness is limited by the application of faith in supplication, in petitions, in prayer. The binding of those things and the loosing or the release of God's power on earth, in our lives, circumstances, in our relationships, in our businesses, in all aspects of the church. So what does this binding look like? Well, supplication, remember that means petitioning or petitions, is consistent, persistent approaching to prayer and an intensity level above the norm. Remember, the root word of supplication means to bind, to knit, to tie, or to wind. So let's illustrate. I'm going to give you I'm going to talk about three types of binding today in prayer. The first one is binding off. Binding off things. Binding off is the knitting term. Now, when you think of off, what this actually means is the opposite of what your mind's thinking of. When you think something of off, you think of like taking this cap off this bottle. I needed that. Sorry. It was a good illustration, though. It's not what he's talking about binding off here is. Well, actually, the word meaning binding off means actually attaching something. I'll explain to you. Binding off is the knitting term, which means tying off what you're working on, as in actual knitting. Ladies, and some of you men who have watched or are maybe practiced actual knitting of material, it's the stitch that secures or ties up that last row of loose ends, if you will, or pieces of an object, so it doesn't come apart or unravel. That's binding off, okay? Well, we do that in prayer. An example, When you bind in prayer in this way, when you're binding on something off in prayer, you're stopping the unraveling of a situation. Example, you know, a marriage is coming apart. A child is separating in an unhealthy way from family. In other words, there's an unraveling taking place. You get the picture? The unraveling taking place that needs to be bound off from any further coming apart. The relationship needs to be brought back from any further coming apart. The relationship needs to be brought back or knitted together, binding off what the enemy is trying to unravel. Okay? You see, in supplication, we bind off this unraveling in the spirit, and we fight for that situation to be redeemed, to be restored, and to be renewed. That's binding off. Restored, redeemed, restored, and renewed. You see, here's the thing. Too many Christians look at these situations and they say, oh, what a tragedy that is. Instead of going to God in supplication and binding off that spiritual attack and saying, no, devil, you can't have that family. You can't have that child. We'll not allow you to steal that. We'll not allow you to kill and destroy anymore in that relationship. It's that we're binding off in Jesus' name. Do you understand binding off? The second thing is binding up. Binding up. Now, I want you to picture an injury or something and wrapping a bandage around it. You bind up that injury or that wound. You bind it up with bandages or whatever, right? Ezekiel 34:16 says, I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that which was driven away. And listen, and I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. He's saying, I will bind up broken hearts. I will bind up broken relationships. I will bind up wounded people in their spirit, in their bodies, in sickness and illness. I'll bind it up. Psalm 147 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. You see, sometimes people are so wounded that even well-meaning, loving touch hurts because they're raw. They're wounded and they're raw. And you know what? That's when there's nothing to do, nothing you can do except pray. Pray for them. Intercede for that person or those people. You see, binding up in the spirit the wounds through supplication, petitions, prevailing, patient prayer will see those wounds bound up, death driven back, and God's grace flow into that situation. Individuals, families, congregations, towns, even nations. You see, there's times when we should be in supplication for even for ourselves, binding the enemy in our own lives. Example, after you confess a sin to the Lord, have you ever noticed? Have you ever noticed that the devil will keep throwing accusing thoughts at you, trying to guilt you and say, nah, it's too bad. It was too bad. That doesn't work. You see, he's taunting you in your thoughts, replaying your past. That's why in Revelation he's called the accuser. And you can either choose to live with that condemnation, or you can take a faith-filled stand against him. Bind up the accusation. Wind the truth of God's word around it and receive peace. Peace from the truth. And this is the truth. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, that's truth, and you tell that to the devil because that'll shut him up. He can't argue with it. He can't argue with truth. He'll try to twist truth, but what he does is he speaks lies. He accuses you in your mind. Bind him up. when we bind up in the name of Jesus, listen to me, health and peace will flow. Health and peace will flow. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I want you to turn there. My wife knows this by heart because it's her life verse. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication. Prayer and petitions. Prayer and binding. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This is a kingdom key right there. See, we don't have to live under oppression in the world around us. We don't have to. We don't have to exist disturbed, overwhelmed, and weary. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that happens when we walk in partnership with Him, in agreement, in prayer. You know what a yoke is? A yoke, you think about a yoke, the old wooden yoke. They were made to keep two animals together that were hitched to a team. And so the yoke had two places, one over this mule and that one, or one over this cow and that cow, and it held them together. So they'd walk in unison. Isn't it interesting? Jesus uses the yoke as that illustration. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what he's saying? I'm in this side of the yoke. You get in that side of my yoke. And it'll be easy and lighter than you trying to carry that yoke by yourself. Let Jesus get in the other side of that yoke. That's what he's saying here. And that happens when we walk in unison, in partnership with him, agreeing with him in prayer and intercession. You see, Jesus will occupy the yoke next to you if you let him. If you let him. I cannot believe what's been preached this morning. I haven't heard one amen. Are y'all asleep? Man, these words are good. This scripture is truth. Let's wake up. Amen? All right. You awake over there, Brian? I was worried about Brian going to sleep. He stayed up all night. Everybody else sleep. Brian, you're doing good. Let Jesus occupy the yoke next to you. And the last thing is bind together. So we looked at two things so far in binding. Binding up, binding off. And now we're going to look at binding together. Binding together. See, there's times and situations that need, times and situations that need to be bound together. Knitted into union. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We live in a broken world. Listen, we live in a broken world that deals in misunderstanding and miscommunication, misinformation, more misinformation. Because misinformation is miscommunication, amen? Daily, we're assaulted with lies from hell that are designed to divide and destroy healthy relationships, healthy human relationships, to divide and destroy churches and nations, countries. See, in Matthew 18, Jesus speaks that in rather it be in agreements or disagreements, there is a need for hearts to be bound together. As he describes, and what he's describing in Matthew 18 is the process of binding hearts together. The process of resolving relational issues. Look at Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, before you run off and say, oh, well, I can ask anything wrong. That's not what he's saying here. In these two verses, Jesus is again affirming binding and loosing, specifically binding together hearts of people, hearts of neighbors, hearts of spouses, hearts of churchgoers. We bind together when we become aware of people, maybe who are alone. Psalm 68 says, the Lord sets the solitary in families. I see people isolate all the time. They isolate because they're lonely, they're afraid, they're hurt, and they just don't trust anybody. God says He wants to put them in families within the body of Christ. He wants relationships to be bound together, to build up the body. You see, we bind together by inviting people to your life group or to an accountability group, a place where healing can be generated through faith that binds together. That binds together. Prayers of binding together, listen to me, prayers of binding together can intervene in the plan of darkness to steal, kill, and destroy, to divide, to discourage, and to defeat Christ's people and His church. Now, having shown in supplication how we bind off, we bind up, and we bind together, it's important to understand some things in this aspect of spiritual warfare. Listen, we are given the keys of the kingdom. That's access and authority. But we do not determine, listen to me, we do not determine what God does. We may think we know what He's going to do, but most of the time we don't. We don't determine what God does. It's not our place to go around making our own judgments in a situation and say this is what needs to happen to fix it. Let me say it like this. These petitions and these prayers to God move God. Intercessory prayer is important. Spiritual warfare is a necessity if the church is going to flourish and go forward. But God is not obligated to answer any prayer spoken without hearing Him first. Let me say that again. God is not obligated to answer any prayer that's spoken without first hearing from Him. You see, we don't use Scripture to twist God's arm. Just because we can recite a verse doesn't mean we can ask according to our will. But Pastor, doesn't the Bible say, you just read, ask what you desire and it'll be done? Yes, it does. But God's not given us a magic wand to wave. There's conditions on that promise. God does not owe us anything. Supplication calls us to bind in prayer in consultation with God. Like this, Father, what's your will in heaven so that I can declare it on earth? Speak it, reveal it to me. Help me discern the situation so I can move on it in supplication, in petitioning, in prayer. Not go try to fix it myself. See, praying requires that we listen for His voice. And He speaks in different ways. God speaks through nature. God speaks through people. God speaks through in revelation through the gifts of the Spirit. But most often, God speaks right here through His Word. Through His Word. His Word is the revealed and written revelation of God. And look at 2 Timothy 3:16. I have a scripture to back up that statement. His Word is the written and revealed revelation of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. All Scripture. So that's the revealed, written revelation of God right there. You see, Scripture is the plumb line by which everything is evaluated in our lives. It's the plumb line. It doesn't matter what you think God may have told you. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it wasn't Him. Period. End of sentence. It's got to line up with Scripture. If you want to learn to live, to walk, and to hear God's voice, you first have to engage and persist in studying God's Word, in knowing it, so you'll know what the truth is. Because let me tell you, the devil can make it sound like the truth. He twists Scripture all the time. People twist Scripture. You know why? I don't want that plumb line. I don't want to adjust myself to that plumb line. I want that plumb line adjusted to my life. Amen? Yeah, it's the truth. Too many people do that. It's the plumb line. If you want to learn to live and to walk and to hear God's voice, you got to get in the Word. Make it your authority in your life. And you see, that's the hard part. Because sometimes what God tells us in decisions we have to make, we don't like, because that's not the decision we want. We want to do what we want, or what we feel like we need to do, or what we think we need to do. And that's not truth, folks. It's not truth. You can only be safe with this plumb line, God's Word. Worship team, will you come up? Listen to me. We're living in a world where ongoing warfare continues. It's going to continue until Jesus comes back, okay? I'm just letting you in on that secret. And so it doesn't need to be secret anymore. And I don't tell you that to discourage you. I tell you that because it's the truth. And hopefully you'll make a decision that, hey, I might as well get with this spiritual warfare, because it's all around me. It's going to continue until I'm taken home. Revelation 3, 21 and 22. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. And I also overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne. And then he goes on to say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me. So here's the message today. Overcome doubt. Invite Jesus to enter situations in the realm of earth's broken kingdom and in darkness's rule. Let him get in the yoke with you. He will. And listen to me. Darkness cannot stand against the King of Light and the King of Life. Amen. Let's pray. I hope that somehow through the Word today that you've come to understand a little more of the importance of prayer, of interceding for each other, and even for yourself. I don't care what situation is going on in your life. The prophet Isaiah, the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, you will not be burned by the fire or scorched by it. The flood waters will not overcome you. So whatever flood you're in right now, you're experiencing, or whatever fire you're walking through, you can intercede for yourself. You can list others to intercede. But let me go back to that truth I just shared. We don't tell God what to do in our prayers. We ask Him to step in. We ask Him to move by His Spirit, to intervene. And our prayers cause His Spirit to move in ways that He knows it needs to move, even in your own life. And so I encourage you today, you're not going to drown in the flood. If you'll reach up to His hand that's always reaching down to you, if you'll reach up and take His hand, He'll pull you out of the water. He'll pull you out of the fire. And if not, He'll swim through it with you, and He'll walk through the fire with you. But He will bring you out on the other side. It may not look like what you think it's going to look like or what you want it to look like, but it'll be His best for you if you'll trust Him to provide His best for you. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You're trustworthy. I thank You, Lord, that Your word is true and right. God, that Your response to our prayers is never too early and never too late. I thank You, Lord, that Your ways are higher than our ways and Your thoughts than our thoughts. And God, because of that, we can trust You with our lives. We can trust You with our circumstances, even with our situations. We can trust You. So, Lord, today, I pray that we would begin to exercise the keys to the kingdom that You've given us, the access directly to You, to Your throne, through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And also the authority that's in the name of Jesus to bind off, to bind up, and to bind together. And the authority to loose, to release the power of Your Spirit in our lives and in our circumstances. So God, we thank You for that. We praise You for that in the strong name of Jesus. Father, we thank You that we come to You this morning to worship You and to honor You and to praise You with our tithes and our offerings. To trust you with our finances. Even if they seem flooded or they seem like they've already burned up, God, we trust You with our finances. Teach us, Father, as we trust You, teach us to be better stewards of the resources that You give us. Not just our money, but our time, our gifts, our talents, and our resources of all kinds. So, Lord, we say thank You. Thank You for the blessings that You pour out in our lives in so many ways that we can't even recognize all of them. We thank You in the strong and powerful name, the name above every name, the name above all names, who is and was and is to come, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you made a decision this morning, would you fill out that connection point and just maybe jot it down or check one of the boxes on the back that applies? If you've been watching by internet and God's worked in your life, would you go to our website? Would you contact us by email and let us know what God's doing in your life and how we can pray for you and intercede for you and just be a part of your life and helping you and encourage you in your faith? Heart Cry family and friends, it's worship offering time.